Reading the book of Jeremiah. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me, that they went far from me, and went after worthless things, and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives? I brought you into a plentiful land, to eat its fruits and good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land, and made my heritage an abomination. The priests did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handled the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, say the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross the coasts of Cyprus and look, send to Kedar, and examine with care. See if there's ever been such things. Has a nation changed its gods, even though there are no gods? But my people have changed their glory into something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, say the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
We'll read from Psalm 81, particularly starting on this side. Sing with joy to God our strength, and raise a loud shout to God our Jacob.
I am your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and said, open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
And yet my people did not hear your voice, and Israel was not obeyed.
So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their hearts, to follow their own devices.
Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways.
I shall soon subdue their enemies, and turn my hand against their foes.
Those who hate me would cringe before me, and their punishment will last forever.
But Israel would I feed with the finest wheat, and satisfy them with honey from the rock.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you, or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life, and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, and today, and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Spirit of God, sing. Glory to you, Lord Christ.
On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your guest, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place," and then, in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He also said to the one who had invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. You probably noticed I'm not the Reverend Herman Lewis preaching today. He's feeling under the weather, so he sent me his sermon. So this is his word to all of you, his prayerful word. So here we are in the long green season. Clear between. It's been a long time since Pentecost. And it seems Advent and Christmas are a long time in the future. It's Labor Day, the end of summer, the dog days. Classes are starting and planning for the next year is at full throttle. The garden just looks tired. Like it's given its best, it just wants to turn brownish and rest for a while. And then, suddenly, here's Jeremiah. Couldn't we just have another familiar parable or some miraculous healing? Something, anything but Jeremiah. Prophets, they just don't seem seasonally appropriate for this time of year. We'd like to slow down a bit and catch our breaths. They ran and they raved. They just keep popping up all the time in that mysterious Old Testament. Give us something timely and pertinent. But Jeremiah cuts our sour longing short. He has a word or two for us. Abraham Heschel, the Jewish theologian, in his brilliant book, The Prophets, describes those Old Testament prophets as sensitive to evil, interested in even the minutest details, luminous and explosive, always one octave too high. He states that while they find few guilty, they hold all responsible. Now, I have no idea why the people who constructed the lectionary chose this time of year to give us Jeremiah, but they did, so here we are. You know, in light of our recent temperatures, he has our attention because at least he's talking about the water. He's certainly talking about something we can relate to as Californians. Jeremiah starts off by taking us into a courtroom. He's like the attorney for a deeply aggrieved party. And that party is none other than God. God's self, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen led them, and settled them in their own land, and has loved them throughout. The defendants in the case are the people of Israel, as personified by the people of Jerusalem. And Jeremiah wastes no time getting to the heart of his case. It's all about water. Water. That's a very smart move, because the people of Jerusalem have a water problem. The Babylonians are shortly going to surround the city and cut off all supplies, as well as most of the water. And in that arid climate and location, controlling the water supply is one sure way to hasten the surrender of the city. In preparation for such an eventuality, Jerusalem has constructed cisterns for water storage in times of drought. But Jeremiah is talking about more than the water supply to the city of Jerusalem. He's talking about the fact that the people of Israel have turned their back on God, who has saved them from all the perils that threatened their existence and led them forward, always preserving them from trouble. God speaks through the mouth of Jeremiah. He opens with this statement of his case. Once more I accuse you, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send a Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though they were no gods? But my people changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this, be shocked, be utterly desolate, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. Jeremiah has brilliantly framed his charges against the people of Jerusalem and of Israel in general in terms of their immediately pressing issues. Hard words for the residents of the city and the nation to hear. Hard words for the nation established and sustained by God and described elsewhere as the apple of God's eye. Surely these days, many of us, in fact, are thirsty. Surely we are so very thirsty for something we want to call normalcy, however we might define that. Some of us are lonely. Some of us are afraid of things real and things imagined, of things that might be in our future. Some of us are afraid for our children and for our grandchildren and future generations. Some of us fear our supposed solutions may very well turn out to be cracked cisterns. So what are we to do? The words of our collect this morning seems like a good place to start. Good words. To hold up as a light, help us find those cracks in our cisterns, and to help us find those sources of living water. Lord of all power and might, the author and giver of all good things, graft in our hearts the love of your name. Increase in us true religion. Nourish us with goodness, and bring forth in us the fruits of good works, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen.
who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. O Lord, our constant helper, open our hearts to let mutual love continue among all your people, whether known or unknown to us. Let us not neglect to show hospitality in sharing with and caring for all who are poor, imprisoned, or afflicted in body and soul. O God, light in our darkness,
we put our trust in you.
O Lord, our constant helper, we ask your special blessings upon all who lead us in your church, who speak your word to us, and teach us by example to imitate their faith and thoughtfully consider the outcome of our own ways of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray especially for our Bishop, Megan, and our clergy, staff, lay leaders, and congregation. O God, light in our darkness,
we put our trust in you.
O Lord, our constant helper, humble the souls of those who hold international, national, and local power. Guide them and all of us to the path of leadership vested in compassion, generosity, and thoughtful justice that frees us all from hatred and violence. O God, light in our darkness,
we put our trust in you.
O Lord, our constant helper, refresh the spirits of those afflicted by any kind of illness or critical life circumstances, and lift the energies of all who give them support. We now join our voices to pray for those on our parish prayers. O God, light in our darkness,
we put our trust in you.
O Lord, our constant helper, dry the tears of the sorrowful with the comfort of knowing that our loved ones are now exalted to a place of honor at your heavenly eternal peace. We pray for the repose of the soul of Mike Vanderford and for his family and friends who mourn.
We pray for the children of the Lutheran Mission Parish School, for the families of the members.
O God, light in our darkness,
we put our trust in you.
O Lord, our God, inspire us to choose a lower place at your holy table than the place we offer to others, that in humility we may entertain angels unaware. May your name always be the fruit of our lips, and each facet of our lives reflect the continual sacrifice of praise to you. We ask through Christ, our present and eternal Savior, and the Holy Spirit, the sacred breath of heaven, who together with you are one God, from before the beginning to beyond the end.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor.
Most merciful God,
we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Amen. by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
And the peace of the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Well, welcome all this morning, and please be seated for a few announcements. They are always found in the yellow sheet that's stuck in your bulletin. They're also online if you want even more. Let me just lift up a few. Well, Pamela's not here today, so that's another thing you probably know. She's expected to be here next week. Next week, there is no 8 o'clock service, so if you're planning to go, or don't. One service next week is at 10. The choir will officially be the choir next week, right? Have an anniversary. They're all in the knee.
on the narrows, or tie chilies so you have to turn, and they might put them on the table in case someone thought they might be candy.
Altar rail, and you can kneel put your hands out, and Margaret there will take a piece of bread, dip it in the wine, and then place it into your open palm. So that's that. And try and keep things as few hands handling things as possible. That's what we're doing. And if you come to this side, this means you wish to receive the bread in your hand, which you will eat, and then you may drink or not as you wish from the common cup. If you want to come up and just not receive communion, but have to get a blessing, you simply cross your arms over your chest like that to indicate it. I think that covers it all. And so now let us walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, and offering them and sacrifices to God.
Jesus.
enjoy your good creation and you continue to offer us your good abundance. In your mercy, you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus, transformed death into life. Through the Spirit, you continue to call us into covenant with you for the restoration of creation and the reconciliation of all people. And so we give you thanks, rejoicing with all creation as we join the saints and angels in their unending hymn.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
These are the gifts of God, for the people of God. Take him in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. pure green of the grass to you. Deep peace, pure brown of the earth to you. Deep peace, pure gray of the dew to you. Deep peace, pure blue of the sky to you. The deep peace of the sun of peace to you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain among you.